It's Helping Hand on All Things Considered, airing Fridays and then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about the second annual Winos for Rhinos event. It's from local nonprofit Wild Aloha Foundation. It's timed around the date of World Rhino Day, which is September 22nd. Wild Aloha Foundation are hosting their second ever Hawaii event days later. It will be Thursday, September 26th, 5:30 p.m. at the Pig and the Lady in Honolulu. It is designed to bring awareness and funds to stop a crisis like few others, the plight of one of the world's most vulnerable residents, the rhinoceros, literally in the fight for its very existence. The situation is entirely connected, too, to our Asia-Pacific neighborhood and consumers in a handful of countries in Asia who buy rhino horn, in the process exploiting impoverished people, paid to kill off the world's last rhinos, as criminal syndicates make enormous profits while these consumers in Asia buy into myths that rhino horn either has some medicinal or other properties or can be used as a powerful gift. And scientists the world over dispute rhino horn having any medicinal or other properties. This year, the local fundraiser is going to support something called the Council of Contributors. It's another nonprofit, and they're funding anti-poaching efforts in South Africa, which is ground zero for the killing and the largest population left of rhinos. To learn more, we are joined by the president and co-founder of Wild Aloha Foundation. It's a local attorney, Miley Miller, here in Honolulu, who has taken up the plight of these innocent and extraordinarily threatened creatures. Aloha, and welcome back to Helping Hand.
Thanks so much for having me back.
You are welcome. First, explain the existential nature, I guess you could call it, of the threat that rhinos around the world face, and in particular, how much this killing has increased since about a decade ago, 2007, 2008, when the current crisis began, in direct conjunction with the rise of the middle classes of China and Vietnam.
Yes, so basically in 2007, South Africa is a perfect example. In 2007, 13 rhinos were poached. By 2015, that number was about 1,200. So it was just a huge jump. This past year, the last year that we have statistics for is 2018. So in South Africa in 2018, about 769 rhinos were poached. So it almost looks good. It almost looks like the numbers have been going down. But unfortunately, when you look at the bigger picture, there's currently 20,000 rhinos approximately in South Africa. We're just talking about South Africa. And in the past decade, 8,000 have been killed. So essentially a third of the population has been killed in the past decade. So numbers are going down in terms of poaching. And everybody, of course, is more aware and trying to do more with the anti-poaching efforts. However, it's not clear if it's necessarily anti-poaching efforts that are making the numbers go down or just the fact that the species is starting to dwindle.
Right. Exactly. Population decline could be a real reason that this is also going on.
Exactly.
And the other note is every rhino's carcass is not found. So the numbers are an estimate. And so there has been a slight decline, it looks like, in South Africa, but rhinos are killed elsewhere in Africa, and that number is really still over 1,000 continent-wide, correct?
Correct.
So explain why Hawaii is a unique place as far as its relation to these countries and consumers who are responsible for this relentless wave of death, because the issue of the rhino survival is directly connected to the Asia-Pacific.
So historically, Hawaii is both culturally and physically located pretty close to Asia. And until we instituted the ban a couple years ago, we actually had a fairly large market for the sale of ivory and rhinoceros horn. In fact, Hawaii was, I think, the third worst state after New York and California. We obviously don't have very many statistics now because that ban has been in effect, but it's not necessarily clear that just because the ban is in effect that Hawaii is now on the up and up and has no part in this. Again, just given the proximity of Hawaii to Asia and to the continental U.S., you know, we're kind of in a perfect place to transport various illegal wildlife items. So it's important that people here are aware and are caring about these issues, because even though it seems like we're this island in the middle of the ocean, for a place that was the third worst in the United States for trafficking illegal wildlife parts. It's something that we should be aware of and that we should care about.
And part of that is also a cultural connection. This is the most Asian-centric of any U.S. state. And so considering that it's Asian consumers that are driving it, there's also a potential on the positive side for people here to have an impact because of their strong connection with relatives, friends, and associates in the region.
And tourists. I mean, we have a huge amount of tourists coming from the Asia Pacific. So the more that we can raise awareness about this event here and that gets taken back home, that's something that our organization is all about.
And Wild Aloha Foundation are supporting a number of vulnerable species, but when it comes to this one in particular and their upcoming event that is happening on September 26th at the Pig and the Lady in Honolulu, this Winos for Rhinos event, there are a lot of people who don't understand that rhino horn is basically made of the same thing as your hair or fingernails, keratin. And that rhino horn is not harvested from an animal in the same way as you might get a haircut or you might clip your nails. And in fact, it involves a savage, often agonizing and sometimes protracted killing to be acquired.
Yes. So there are some controversial rhino farms where people are trying to harvest the horn. That hasn't gone over so well for a variety of reasons, which we probably don't have time to get into today. But in terms of the rhinos that are being poached, one, the consumers generally demand that it is a rhino that has been poached. They don't want a farmed horn. They actually want proof that the rhino has been killed. So as a result of that, they will want either pictures or physical evidence of the death of the rhino. Unfortunately for the rhino, this basically means that a rhino is shot, immobilized, not necessarily killed, just immobilized, and then their horn is either hacked off with a chainsaw or a machete, essentially.
And part of that demand for wild rhino, generally, according to Traffic, at least, a huge international wildlife organization we've had on Helping Hand previously, those consumers want to know the horn came from a live rhino when it is taken off the animal, correct? That is a big part of the demand. They want the animal to be alive when that thing is cut off of it.
Yes, so they don't want it to, but alive. They don't want it to be a farmed horn.
Right, both, right. They don't want it to be a farmed horn where an animal is basically, because a horn can be removed from rhinos if it's done properly. It can be removed from the animal while the animal is alive. It can be sedated. You cut it up above the skin and the bone of the skull, and it can be removed safely. But that isn't what happens in the wild.
Correct. That's not what's happening in the wild.
And part of that demand is they want proof that the animal is dead, often an ear or a tail, according to Traffic. Another often unrealized fact about rhinos is the bond that the human, like a human mother and child have, there's a bond that exists between rhinos and their offspring. And so part of what your fundraising will be supporting is helping these orphans that are left. There are catastrophic impacts that this killing is having on baby rhinos that are left orphaned, denied the milk and care of their mothers and the relationship they have with their mothers, and they're often gravely wounded.
Yes, so last year our organization gave money to Care for Wild, which is the largest rhino sanctuary in the world for orphaned rhinos. And that's exactly what their focus is. Their focus is on the baby orphan rhinos who are basically devastated. They cry throughout the night. Their human carers need to try to comfort them and get them used to their new life without their mother. The Council of Contributors is actually the partner organization that we're working with for this event, mm-hmm. and they have three main areas of rhino conservation. It's the orphanages, it's the anti-poaching units, and then it's awareness. So those are kind of the three major factors. With Council of Contributors for this event, we're specifically raising money for the Limpopo Rhino Conservation, which is also known as the Limpopo Rhino Security Group. So the Limpopo Rhino Security Group is a group of individual landowners. And because they're individual landowners, they don't actually have as much support as some of the other organizations do. And some of the national parks, something like Care for Wild, has a very broad base. These are basically just individual homeowners who have rhinos on their lands, and they've banded together to protect these animals. So with Limpopo, what's happened is these individuals, they go to their day jobs, they come home, they have dinner with their families, they go and they do a patrol at night. If in the middle of the night one of the fences is tripped, these individuals are going out with their families to face off against poachers. So we're really trying to switch up which organizations we give money to try to have the greatest effect. So this is this one area in South Africa that has about 1,000 rhinos. So we just said there's less than 20,000 rhinos in South Africa. These individual owners have about 1,000 on their property. It's very important to not give too many details about where they're located,
sure,
because poachers use all this information. So part of what we're able to do at this event is we're going to have some video from all of these owners that we're going to play, and some great pictures that I can't necessarily show on our social media pages, because it is of utmost importance that their locations stay protected.
That's the strange nature of this. These animals are so targeted that, as Prince William said at a recent event that he attended, he witnessed himself, these animals require more security than most world leaders. And you can't take pictures that show the background. You can't show the landscape, because the people who are hunting for them will use that as a way to dial in, and not only on geographically where they are, but on rhinos that don't have the intense security that you're fundraising to provide. And it is human security details, specially trained dogs, military-grade firearms, military-grade surveillance gear, drones, manned aircraft, fences, special crates and supplies for rescuing and treating traumatized orphan rhinos, medical supplies to treat the injured survivors. So I think you raise a good point. A lot of people aren't aware that of the 20,000 rhinos in South Africa, a huge percentage of them are, in fact, on private land.
Right. And that's just basically, it's as if you or me were just happened to have animals that we cared about on our property. These people are spending so much money. I mean, so much money goes into trying to protect these rhinos, and they're not getting anything for it. This isn't their business. This
right.
isn't their livelihood. This isn't a national park that's getting funding from the government.
It's these not are, a business expense at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. These are just people who are literally trying to protect these creatures that they care about that are, happen to be on their property. And because of it, they're facing off against poachers in the middle of the night to try to protect these animals. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, basically, these owners are left to try to provide their own self-made army to
yes.
defend the creatures. And so this council of contributors will be the beneficiary, and she's explained the ways that they work and try to care for these animals. And in particular, this is going to be anti-poaching of their missions, right?
Yeah, this is anti-poaching. So Council of Contributors, we're actually teaming up with them. So I think both Council of Contributors and Wild Aloha Foundation are going to give money to the Limpopo Rhino Security Group. That's the plan in this particular instance. But what's great about Council of Contributors is they have what we don't, and that's a person on the ground in,
right.
in Africa. So the director of Council of Contributors spends almost 6 months in Africa at any given time. She's been with these owners. She's met them. I've had conference calls with them at the when they're at the location. So it helps to have somebody on the ground that I can work with, because obviously I'm in Hawaii and we're at a 12-hour time difference.
Yeah, and so what Wild Aloha Foundation does is they pick a benefactor that's there on the front lines. They raise the money and the money goes to them.
Exactly.
Is how it works. And this organization, from looking at their website, and you can look it up yourself. I'll have the link, of course, along with Miley's feature and her helping hand post, but it looks like they're doing 95% or something. All of the funds are, there's almost no administration cost. The money is going right into the field to buy the armament, the weapons, the fencing, and to pay for the human, as you said, I mean, the human security details is what it comes down to. You don't just buy assault rifles. Somebody has to be trained and carry that and be out 24 hours a day with eyes on the animal.
And realistically, with these individual owners, they just don't have the resources to necessarily have those many rangers. They have some and they can pay for some, but I think a lot of where the money that we're raising is going to go to is to help pay for helicopter surveillance
right.
on a regular basis, keeping track of where the herds are, where or the crash rather, where the rhinos are, where there seems to be problems with the fencing, you know, deter poachers, make sure they see that there is a concerted effort of these individual owners who have banded together to protect this species of, or this population rather, of about 1,000 rhino.
And when people have a lot of money, there is advanced surveillance that can be used, motion detection, thermal imaging. There have been some breakthroughs in ways to protect the animals. When there's a lot of funding, you can create an almost invincible stronghold so that anything larger than a rabbit, I've been told, can be spotted as it enters the property, which can almost guarantee their security when that sort of financing is available. So on that note of the financing, give details on the event. Again, the event is coming up on September 26. It's at the Pig and the Lady in Honolulu, 5:30 p.m. Talk about how it works for those supporting your efforts.
So tickets are $100. Basically, Wild Aloha Foundation is still just a couple of us. It's a few friends who have banded together. We all have day jobs. We don't take any salaries. We pay the fees for the website. We pay the fees for the event. And then everything else goes directly to whatever animal we're promoting at the moment. So right now, it's going to the rhinos. Everything is going to Limpopo Rhino Conservation. And if you can't make the event, I would say maybe sign on and contribute directly to either them or Council of Contributors. They're all great organizations. You can obviously donate to us. We're 501c3, we're nonprofit, you can get your tax deducts, but all of the money is going to these animals. We're not doing this to make any sort of profit. It is a labor of love, to say the least.
And at your website, people can make that direct donation. They could both buy the tickets, but they could also do what you just said and make it, say, if I can't go there, I'm on Kauai, for example, I'm not gonna be able to make it, I live in the Big Island, they can go to the wildalohafoundation.org website and make a direct donation to these groups.
Absolutely. And we're always looking for donations. Obviously, that always helps. If somebody wants to help sponsor the event and help us with the cost that we need to cover for overhead, that's always a huge help. We're going to have silent auction items. If you have anything to donate, any gift card, any, you know, hat, any shirt, any art piece, I mean, anything and everything, we are happy to have and use at our silent auction to help raise funds.
So again, on that note, for people who have items to donate for this auction, that is one of the, that's a big way that they can support you then, correct? So anybody listening throughout the state that has a business or has products of some kind and they say, hey, people, we sell this product, people buy it from us, how about we donate some of them to this organization? That's a great way, you're saying, to help.
Absolutely. And that's also tax deductible. I can give you a letter and you can save it for tax time. All of that is so helpful. It's really, like I said, it's just a few of us who are running this show and we're trying our best.
So on that concept, for people who have an interest in social media and have like a large group of friends, that's another way people could support this cause. You'll correct me if I have it wrong, but people who are willing to follow what you guys do on social media and then repost the stuff and follow other nonprofits who are supporting these animals, rhino conservation, rhino anti-poaching, and just to spread the word about the crisis, because as Peter Knights from Wild Aid told us, there are a lot of people who care. They often just don't know the facts. And once they realize, wow, I can help just by spreading the word about this, that performs a huge service.
Absolutely. I mean, reposting is wonderful. That's obviously very helpful and you reach even more people. But even if you just come and like our Facebook and Instagram pages and like the things that we post, the way that the algorithms work is, though, our posts will show up on random people's news feeds more often based on the amount of likes that we have. So even if you're not up to the stage of wanting to necessarily repost what we're posting, even just liking and following us has a huge impact on the amount of people that we ultimately can reach.
And people in the community who are inspired by your philanthropic effort that, you know, Miley's a full-time attorney by day, but then she does this in addition to that. If there are others who wanted to volunteer and join Wild Aloha Foundation and help your effort, you'd be welcoming that, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. All help is welcome.
And that would be a big help because it's a small group of you.
Yes.
Here's how to reach them. It's wildalohafoundation.org. You can send an email and that would go to info@wildalohafoundation.org. There's also a contact form online at their website. They are also on Instagram and Facebook where you can reach them too. And you can see what they're about and help them by reposting their information. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Anything that I missed in this before I wrap it up with you that you're thinking, oh, I didn't mention such and such?
Only thing, I'll do a little piece if you want to use it, use it. I was just going to say, you know, the war against rhino poaching is always a step forward and two step backs, right? We just had some great information with Sudan, which is to say the northern white rhino. He passed away, but his offspring were able to successfully fertilize eggs. So there's some hope that there might be able to kind of get the population restarted by then putting those fertilized eggs into white rhinos. But that was great news. That came out like a week ago. And I feel like the same week it came out that South Africa is doubling the amount of black rhinos that they're allowing to be killed for trophy hunting. So it's this constant struggle. So we're constantly, we gain some, we lose some. The CITES conference that just happened was generally good for rhinos and for a variety of species. But then again, on the other hand, South Africa just said that they're going to increase the amount of black rhinos that are allowed to be poached or for trophy hunting. And, you know, black rhinos are one of the most endangered species at this point. It's just, it's crazy that it's such a struggle.
It's a thrill to have you back on, but it's not a thrill because of what we were talking about. Like you said, it's always a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. And we're hoping that eventually you won't need to come on and talk about something like this.
That would be great. But of course, I always love to be here. I love talking to you. I know that you care about these issues as much as I do. But yeah, ultimately, the goal is to not even have a need for this organization.
But it's coming up. It's coming up soon. A way to support rhinos locally right here in Honolulu, September 26th, the second ever Hawaii event called Winos for Rhinos, something that's done around the world. But this young lady has taken it upon herself to do it here in Honolulu. It's September 26th at the Pig and the Lady in Honolulu, 5:30. Tickets on sale now at Wild Aloha at wildalohafoundation.org. It's president and co-founder of Wild Aloha Foundation, local attorney Miley Miller. On behalf of all those rhinos that cannot get on the radio and join us and say thank you for what you're doing on our behalf, I say thanks for you.
Thank you.